Hello. Welcome to Restoration. This is Dr. Paul Looney, and this podcast features the third beatitude, Blessed are the Meek. The teaching is done by myself and Mark Rodriguez. Thanks for joining us. On a journey through the Beatitudes, the opening words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and each of the Beatitudes begin with the words, blessed are. And this evening, we're going to be kind of doing our second installment on the third Beatitude. 2 weeks ago, Vicki Dimmitt gave an awesome message about what it means to be meek. And we're going to kind of pick up where she left off. But how many of you are rule keepers? How many just love keeping the rules? Few of you out there like to color inside the lines and everything. How many of you are rule breakers and just love to step over that line? How many of you kind of do a little bit of both, depending on the situation? I'm kind of one of those people that kind of straddles the fence. And recently, we had a couples retreat out in Lampasas that I led along with my wife, and we decided we were going to take a quick trip up to Colorado for a few days. And I was driving, and I got not one, but two tickets on the way. Fortunately, they both gave me warnings. Now, is that amazing? Yeah. Now, I have to, in my defense, one of them was in a little town in West Texas. I think it was Merkel or somewhere like that. And I was going, I thought it was a 30-mile speed limit, and I was going 35. But it turns out it was a school zone, so it was really 20. So as the patrolman walked back to the car, my wife is going, this one's going to cost you. Like, oh, no, it's terrible. And he comes back after a few minutes and goes, you know, I'm just going to give you a warning. And I'm like, really? You are? He's like, yeah, I'm going to give you a warning. And he says, but you need to watch those signs. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Well, it's probably about 4 hours later. We're on the other side of Amarillo. And on this little, dirt road. Anybody ever been out past Amarillo where Cal Farley's Boys Ranch is out 1061? Anyway, it is just barren. Speed limit 70. I was going 75. Got pulled over again. My wife is going, honey. I'm like, I know. So the guy comes up. I'm going to give you a warning. Like, you're kidding. You're going to give me a warning? I didn't show him the other one. But, you know, I struggle with the rules. I struggle with surrendering and submitting. And I think we all do. And there are a lot of reasons for it. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, Vicki talked about some of the struggles that she had with surrendering in her marriage and in a relationship with God. And there are several things that can stand in our way. One is just our pride. We like to think we can do it our way. You know, I did it my way. And a lot of us just have pride. We want to figure it out on our own. And some of you are pretty good at figuring things out. You're pretty good at finding your own way and making it happen. But that pride can sometimes get in your way. For some of you, it's shame. You don't want to ask for help because you don't know that you deserve it. You don't feel worthy of asking for help or asking for direction. For others of you, it's just plain out fear. You've been hurt by trusting. And so when it comes to submitting to others, to submitting to God, you got a lot of fear. But in this third beatitude, Jesus invites us to what he calls a way of being in relationship that we can only call meekness. He says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And being meek is really about being willing to live within the boundaries. It's about being willing to trust that there is a structure, there's a way, there's a path that really is going to bless me if I get on it. So much of what we do here on Tuesday night is based on our belief and a trust that if we get on a certain path, if we follow these particular steps of action, that they're going to lead us to a good place. A lot of us really have made a mess of things. And the only reason we're here is because we kind of had to be here. You know, we got to that point where we're like, whatever we were doing was so not working, so broken, that we had to make a change. We got one too many tickets, or we got called on the carpet. We lost our job because we blew up, or we lost our marriage because of infidelity or drug abuse. We have broken relationships. Some of us had a health crisis that really called us up short and realized, okay, I've got to do life differently. For so many of us, that decision to surrender or to be meek really comes because we have no choice. We really get to a dead end where we can't keep doing the way we've been doing it. The hard thing for most of us is, I think, to find a balance between feeling like I can make it happen, and as opposed to nothing I do makes any difference. You know, I think we want to either be able to make it all happen, or we want to just give up and throw in the towel. But meekness asked us to consider the possibility that while we can't do everything, we can do something. And the process of walking through the Beatitudes and walking through cross ties or the 12 steps is a process of being willing to do what I can do and to trust God with the rest. One of the things that I've learned in this path is that while I need to hear from God, I also need to hear from somebody who can act as God's agent, like those two patrolmen that pulled me over on the way to Colorado. I sometimes can hear from God, and he can tap me on the shoulder and say, slow down. But sometimes I need a human agent who kind of gets my attention and says, you know, you need to slow down. And one of the things I've been so blessed by in this process of recovery is having a sponsor, somebody who can be God's spokesman for me, to tell me that in some ways I need to slow down. In some ways I need to take my time and do the things that will ultimately put me on the path toward healing. In just a minute, Mark Rodriguez, who is my sponsor, is going to come up and share a little bit about step three. As many of you already know, there's a beautiful correlation between the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery groups and the Beatitudes. And this third step is such a beautiful, such a beautiful correlation in the Beatitude that says, blessed are the meek. And I've written up here, I'll pull the board over when Mark comes up. But the third step says, we made a decision to turn our lives, our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And for me, this step is so pivotal. It's such a turning point that I think it makes sense that we're spending another week on it. So, Mark, if you'll come up here and share a little bit about, from your experience, what this step is all about, and then I'll come back up and finish it up. Y'all, welcome Mark.
Check. Can you hear me now? I normally sit down. I don't stand up.
You want to share?
Yeah. With step three, one of the first things that I've learned is, and bear with me with the mic and drawing and doing all of that, is you have your old way of life, and then through the process of the 12 steps, you have your new way of life. And step three for me is this intersecting point right here where it's asking me to make a decision. And in breaking down this step, and as I went through the steps, it was the simplicity for me of just breaking it down to the simplest form of making a decision. Step three, I mean, because if you look at it, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And so there's a lot there. But for me, for just breaking it down to the simplest form of making a decision, it's just asking me to make a decision. Am I willing to let go of this way? And am I willing to go to a new way? And for me, part of that new way is that I had no idea what that looked like. I mean, a new way of life, you know, my old way of acting out and looking at pornography and doing all those things was my way of life. And there was also a lot of good things in there that I did. I mean, and so to just say, okay, I'm going to leave this way and go to this new way is asking a lot. I mean, it's not just a simple thing of just saying, okay, I'm just going to go from here to here and be done. I mean, and part of this is the process. You know, there is a lot in this journey from my old way of life to my new way of life. And that begins by making a decision. And for me, step three was probably the biggest part, the biggest step of faith that I needed, you know, that taught me what faith was truly about. You know, is taking and making that decision to start going on this journey. And as part of that, I need to do the work. And if I do the work on this new way of life, God is going to perform the miracle. And so that was something that came to me that I realized that I need to continue, that it takes action. It's not just a, you know, first it's the decision, which step three is asking me. And then as I begin to go through that process, I have to do some sort of work. And so it's not just, you know, for certain people, there will be a laying on of hands and some kind of miracle. But for other people, like for me, I had to do the work. I had to dig. I had to bring up wounds. I had to look at my past. I had to be able to put some of these pictures, you know, these things together to be able to understand what was going on in my life. It wasn't just, boom, there it is. And so after making a decision, you know, and then to turn my will and my life. Now, a lot of us in the church, and once we're saved, we turn our lives over. But if we're really honest with ourselves, do we turn our will? And I really concentrate on that question, the will, because for me, that was the deep stuff. That was the deep thing down in my soul. I can consciously say, okay, I make a decision. But am I spiritually making a decision? Am I emotionally making a decision? Or am I just saying to myself, I made a decision, and that's it? And so what comes back is the will. And the will, for me, is what had to change. Is that, again, coming back to, well, I do some things good in my life in my old way. I have a job. You know, I didn't lose my job as a result of my addiction, but I still had a job. I brought in a paycheck. I could live. I could manage. So it couldn't be that bad. It was just this one little addiction on the side that was the problem. But the program is asking me to change this to this. And I had no idea what this looked like. And so part of the trust of understanding that was seeing how my sponsor's life was compared to what it used to be. Seeing how the people like Vicky and Tammy and other people in the program that have been in it for a long time, how their lives have changed. And so by seeing that it worked for them, I had to have that faith to be able to trust that it would work for me. And again, it comes back to the will factor. Am I willing to let that go? Am I willing to let this go? Am I willing to let my old life go? And so there's a lot there that can be broken down and a lot to be, you know, looked at. But again, coming back, decision. You know, and I think it's a three-phase decision. It's making the decision, but then emotionally, spiritually, physically, am I making this decision? Do I truly want this change? Or am I just saying it because I need to do it because I want to stop acting out? I don't want to hurt anybody, you know, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, where the real change is going to occur is when my heart truly wants to change. And so part of that for me also was a big one, was the care of God as we understood him. And for me, growing up in a Christian environment, there was a lot of fundamentals that I was taught that was good, but then there was a lot of fears and a lot of different things that I developed from a young person that I saw God. And so when I entered this program, I really had to, in a way, I could remember just talking with God on my quiet time and just saying, you know, God, everything that I understood, I'm going to kind of throw it out the door and start with a blank slate. And if you're truly God, I want you to show me a new way. And, you know, that journey is still continued to today, because for me, there's a lot of fears. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of different things that I thought that I knew were right, but they weren't. And so that stuff had to change. And in order for it to change, there had to be, you know, knowledge. And for me, when a lot of change came was from knowledge, from reading, from in scripture, from just having a different perspective and understanding, you know, what it was. And for me, it was awareness of what was going on in my life. If I was reading a scripture and there was a fear coming up, what was this fear based on? What was this anxiety based on? Was it something from my past? Not even having to do anything with the scripture, but just having to do with me. And so really being able to separate that, really having to change the care of God as I understood God. And to even this word here, where the care, I didn't even have a concept of care, because in all honesty, God to me was, I needed to do what he said. And if I didn't do what he said, I was in sin. And so there was fear. And so how could I even understand what care was if I was just living in fear, even in fear of God, that I wasn't doing something right? And so a lot of that had to begin to change, and even believe that God could care for me, you know, as a loving person, and that's all I needed to be. And so there was a lot of stuff that could be broken down, but in the very beginning, it's the simplicity form of just making that decision, heart, soul, and mind. And so, you know, that's a little bit based on the step three. So is that good enough, Paul?
Thank you, Mark. You know, one of the things I love about working with Mark and hate at the same time is that Mark asks very probing questions. He's a very curious guy, and when I'm up against something that has kind of got me stirred up or on the prowl or gnarly or whatever, he's very good about kind of poking around and trying to figure out what that is. And I think that when you think about being meek, one of the things that I think is at the heart of meekness is being teachable. And to be teachable, you got to be curious. You got to be willing to set aside your judgments about your own self, your own way, and even your judgments about God, and open yourself up to thinking about things from a different frame of reference, from a different point of view. And unfortunately, if we're gonna change our paradigm about life and about God, we have to have input from outside. And for some of you, when you were young and when you were impressionable, when you were innocent and open to the influence of other people, you were betrayed. You were led astray. And you suffered for it. And so for you, the idea of opening up to somebody else's influence and direction is terrifying. Even to let God have control of your will in your life is very scary. I remember I was leading a retreat several years ago, and we were talking about God and his promises and how sometimes it seems like God doesn't come through for us. And there were some people in the group that were saying, well, God always keeps his promises. God is a good, loving father. And this one woman who is in her 20s spoke up and she said, if God is a loving father, where was he when I was being abused as a little girl? And kind of called everybody up short. Because from our human perspective, a loving father would never let his little girl be abused. Isn't that right? How could you be a loving father and let that happen to your little girl? So there are things that we've experienced when the care of God did not seem to be present for us, did not seem to come through for us, didn't seem to protect us or make it right. And so coming to the place where we can make this decision for some of us is very tough. And some of us are so busy trying to defend God and, you know, his perfection that we don't get real about the emotion that we have, the confusion that we have at times, the frustration that we have, or the fear. Because in spite of the fact that we believe God is good and that God is powerful, God doesn't always show up in our experience in a way that demonstrates his love and his power. And this is why we get stuck at step three. A lot of us, we want to believe that God cares. We want to believe that he will lead us to a good place. But there's a part of us that doesn't quite trust. Or we trust only in those moments when we're completely desperate. And then when we're not so desperate, we're like, okay, God, got it. I got my hands on the wheel again. You can leave me alone. Because it's our second nature, it's our default position to want to control our pain, to want to control our life, to want to take the wheel. And surrendering to God, and particularly to someone who is standing in for God, like a sponsor, is pretty tough. I notice that sometimes when I am thinking about calling my sponsor, or after I call my sponsor or whatever, that's when I feel most like acting out by looking at pornography or doing something that I know is not going to be healthy for me. And so I realize that in me, there's still a part of me that rebels against having to trust God, especially when he hasn't always been there for me. This step three, being meek, really is the heart of recovery. Some people draw the steps as an archway, with step three as the capstone, the thing that holds it all together. Because ultimately, God will not have you just on his terms. Yes, he wants to have you, but he wants you to be in it wholeheartedly. He wants you to make the decision. He wants you to trust him. And the irony about trust is that it has to be based to some degree on faith. It has to be based on believing that someone is going to be there for me even when I haven't had that experience in the past. If you get a sponsor, if you get an accountability partner, if you go to one of these groups after the message, if you're going to really open up and share, there has to be a willingness to trust. I want to ask all of you to think about your life up to this point. Think about whether there's ever been a moment when you felt like God came through for you. Ever felt like he spared you from death or from destruction. Ever feel like he intervened to keep you from making a decision that would have really been bad for you. Ever remember him sending somebody at just the right time to speak a word to you that may have been life-saving, or at least saved the day. The thing that we have to anchor in is those moments in our life when God shows up, because in the moments when he doesn't show up, we've got to be able to continue to make this decision, to trust, to believe that he is going to be there for us. And part of it is, like Mark said, by looking at the lives of those around us. Whose life is working better, those who decide to trust God or those who shake their fist at God? What do you see in the lives of the people around you who try to do it their way and those who try to surrender to God's way? Which, from your experience, is going to lead to the better end? And as you make this decision, it's as Mark said, it's not an instant thing. If you go out and make a decision to buy a particular house, you're not done when you make the decision. You still have to make an offer. Your offer has to be accepted. You have to get financing. You have to close. You have to move in if you're going to inhabit that decision, if you're going to buy the house. And some of you are in that process of making the decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. But rest assured that it doesn't have to happen in a moment any more than you have to move into a house the minute you decide to buy it. It doesn't work that way. It's a process, but it's a process that as we put one foot in front of another will lead us in a relationship with God where the way we understand Him will expand and grow as we grow in trust, as we grow in faith, and as we do our part. I love the saying that Mark says, you do the work and God will do the miracle. Meekness is not about just surrendering and letting somebody else do all the work. Meekness is not just about saying, okay, God, whatever you want. Jesus, who was the meekest man that ever lived, was fully surrendered to God, but he also knew his own heart. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he saw before him the cross looming large, the very thing that God had prepared him for from the foundation of the world, when he was face to face with that thing that God was asking of him, he didn't say, sure, Dad, whatever you want. He said, if there is any other choice, I want to do it a different way. I don't want to face death on a cross. And meekness is not about just going, okay, God, do whatever you want. Meekness is about engaging God in the way that Jesus engaged God and saying, this is where I am. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm fearing. This is what I'm hoping. This is what I'm dreaming of. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. As Vicki said, meekness is power under control. And if you really want to have power in your life, if you really want to be in the flow, if you want to be able to experience freedom and hope and healing, then you got to come under God's power. I need a volunteer. Somebody want to come up here and volunteer? Jason, how about you? Come up here and volunteer. I'm going to volunteer Jason. It is Jason, isn't it? Yeah. Hold your hand out. I want you to keep your hand midway between mine. As I move my hands, I want you to keep yours kind of in, right. Just keep it right in between mine. Okay, good. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Great. Great. Good. Oh, awesome. Good job. Okay, so Jason, who was controlling your hand? Jason was controlling his hands. I was directing him. But until he slapped mine, there was no contact between us, right? What stops some of us in turning our life over to the care of God is that we believe or feel like we're going to be giving up control. The truth is that when we submit to direction, we're actually going to gain control. For the first time, some of us will experience the freedom to choose. Because I can tell you, doing things on your own, you may feel like you're free, but you are not free to choose to set aside your knee-jerk responses. You're not free to not go to that website or not spend that extra money that you don't have or not eat that piece of cake or not snort the Coke or whatever it is. Freedom comes through surrender. Freedom comes as we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. We're going to listen to a song in just a minute, and it's called Safe. It's a song that talks about God's care, that talks about how it is to be in His hands. And I want to, before we start the song, I just want you to ask yourself, what is it that keeps you from surrender to God? What is it that keeps you from making this decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God? Is it pride? Is it your commitment to doing it your way? Is it your shame and guilt that keeps you from being able to ask for God's help? Is it fear? Afraid that He'll drop you if you put your life in His hands? Maybe it's your just self-will. For some of you, ironically, it may be that the real decision to turn your will and life over to the care of God is limited because you feel such obligation to do everything the right way. That for you, in order to be able to say yes to God, you need to realize that he wants you to know that you can also say no to him. I know that may seem strange to some of you, but some of you need to know that you can say no to God. You can say, I want to do it my way. Because if you've never gone your own way, if you've always just done everything by the book, you may find that you don't really even know what you want. You don't even know who you are. And you don't really know if going your own way is a good way or a bad way. There are plenty of you who've gone your own way enough times that you are totally convinced that you are not a reliable source of control. But some of you really need to be honest with God. You need to tell him that you feel betrayed by him. You need to tell him that you feel cheated because you feel like you've been dotting every I and crossing every T and he hasn't come through for you. You need to tell him that you're confused because the way that you've been laboring under has not brought you to a place of freedom. Because unless you get honest with God, you will never be able to turn your life and your will over to the care of him. Getting real with God, being honest with yourself and honest with him is a place to start. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. If you want to get a straight path, you need to get on God's path. But you can only do it if you're willing to make this decision. Willpower will only get you so far. Being willful is bound to lead you down a dead end. But being willing is what it's all about. Being willing to let God show you the way. Being curious, being open, being teachable, and being yielded. God, we thank you that when everything is falling apart, we can turn to you. God, we know that there are times when it seems like you're not there for us, when you seem so far away and so oblivious to our pain and our hurt. But God, we come to you with our grief, with our past, with our present and our future. And we choose to trust you. We choose to come to you believing that you will save, you will heal, you will hold our hearts in the way you hold the world. God, for the person in this room who doesn't feel safe, who's never felt safe, God, I pray that you would reach out to them and show them in a tangible way that you have been there, that you will be there. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We depend on that promise, God. For those of us who are in the midst of making a decision to turn our will and our lives over to your care, convince us, Lord, that you are trustworthy. Show your love and show your power once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.